Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our little show. I'm your host for this evening, the mellifluous Harry Balzac. And with me are...
the continuous and seamless Wilma Fingerdew.
The conspicuous apology officer, Mia Harkness.
The igniflous Juan Kerr.
The dulcifluous, look it up, Norma Snookers. Minus the contagious loose knockers.
And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three, four. Sorry, I don't know why I did that. Let's do this instead. Peripatetic, physicist, passage, plotting, planned, postponed.
It's balmier in Narnia as Alvin oust Aslan and Narensi's defences grumble then crumble.
Mad Monks insist that the uniform must be uniform.
Stinky clinky after cranky hanky panky.
Tranquility Base. The angels have landed.
Panda King pardoning, not happening.
Atrus 5060's blood pressure is returning to normal.
Sisyphus had the easier job.
All the news that's fit to print about your events.
For a real down-to-earth, if that's the right phrase, physicist, Commander Eros Madelung doesn't really seem to understand how the uncertainty principle works. Eros is a direct descendant of the famous German physicist Erwin Madelung, the man who discovered something that we all use in our daily lives. The Madelung constant, which characterizes the net electrostatic effects of all ions in a crystal lattice and is used to determine the energy of one ion. Yes, that's where you heard that name before, and it would have bugged you, so we're glad to refresh your memory. Young Eros has a fleet carrier, and it's decommissioned, and he doesn't know what to do with it. So he's asking for volunteers to bring their ships aboard once it's been recommissioned, and to go somewhere and to do something. He's asking prospective prospectors and exploratory explorers to fill in a sign sheet, in order that he can feel inspired, we presume. Because at the moment he doesn't know where his carrier is going to be or in what direction it's going to travel. And although, as a physicist, he's quite aware that he can only know one of these at any one time, he seems to be making a mockery of Pauli's exclusion principle in deciding that he doesn't need to know either of them for now. All we know is that this is all supposed to happen at the start of February-ish. So why not sign up with Eros's agent, Mark Ward? But please, don't try and be a plank and see if you can duplicate Young's experiment and make the carrier go in two directions at once, as that could definitely make his blood boil. He'd be looking for a day when he can get his own back, at which point you'll definitely know what Brownian motion is.
Hot on the heels of the New Year election in Narnia, which incidentally hot romp 4-0 amidst cries of voter fraud, demands for recounts. We did. It's 4-0. 1, 2, 3. 4. You lost. Get over it. And general dissatisfaction from the Green with Envy party of Tsamani, Hutton quickly went to war to wrest control of the system from the Narensi's organisation. To say that Hutton hit the ground running might be construed as something of an understatement. We blew the bloody doors off the wardrobe, flung the moth-eaten furs aside, and kicked the back of it clean out into the forest, right past that rusty old lamppost. Despite Narnia playing their capital ships, spec op wings, fake news correspondents, and a myriad of ships providing endless cannon fodder, they all fell prey to the cool beams, multi-cannons, and engineered railgun of Hutton's combateers. Brief straight days of victory left Hutton poised for a no-contest result. However, on day 4, it was demonstrated that Aslan wasn't a tame lion after all when he stole a consolation victory when Hutton commanders were off in the forest, distracted by something shiny, probably Turkish delight. Throughout the conflict, a veritable constellation of Hutton fleet carriers besiege Yang Orbital, offering ammunition resupply as Commander's reputation steadily deteriorated with the controlling faction. Relations with the Narensis organization, who control the system's sole starport, decayed from mildly harmonious through, oh no, not those pests again, to downright hostile. We were never going to be on their Christmas card list, as it's never Christmas there. One poor Hutton commander, whilst parked on the pad at Yang Orbital, made the error of redeeming his mission reward to destroy ships of the very faction controlling the docking bay weapons. Suffice it to say that his 27 million credit rebuy was a hard but painfully obvious lesson learned, and Pad 4-0 is going to need a clearance crew, an army of panel beaters, and a nice new paint job. However, after 5 days of fighting, as Hutton hammered the final nail of despair into the coffin lid of destiny, the Narnians collapsed, giving Hutton a well-earned 4-1 victory and overall control of the system. Thus, the prophecy of the beavers is fulfilled. Wrong will be right. When Alvin comes in sight, at the sound of his bark, sorrow departs. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he wags his tail, we shall have spring without fail.
The Mad Monks of Van Manen Star lived up to their epithet this week as they went all People's Front of Van Manen. Upheavals in Van Manen Star began when a group of hotbox pilots had to be expunged from the main group due to their emerging extreme religious beliefs. For those who aren't aware, expungement is a tradition peculiar to the hotbox group and is believed to be taken from the rituals of early space explorers, where the more malodorous members of a crew were confined to a cargo hold and washed down with sponges on sticks before being allowed to rejoin their mates. In modern times, the ritual has changed to one where commanders are ritually drenched with water, then wiped down with scented sponges before being released by their fellows. This particular group, led by the Brothers Girdler, have gradually been spending time with the locals of O'Connor City, taking in the cultural and spiritual delights it has to offer. They have visited everywhere from the biowaste farms to Mr. Dusty's tomb in the 4 years since moving into the system. The first signs of weirdness emerged when they started uttering phrases like, "Lentil casserole's actually quite nice once your palate adapts to it. Isn't that chanting just divine? And, you know, I think it actually quite suit a habit." Additionally, they have engaged in an alarming degree of discussion with the monks of the Sublime Order of Van Manen Star. This in turn led to the formation of a sect or subcult of truckers who have devoted themselves to the teaching of Dog. They believe Alvin is his messenger. They have taken to wearing green habits in memory of their hotbox past and devote their days to prayer, worship of Alvin, and researching vegan recipes. Details are scarce at the moment, but we hope to investigate further once the air clears.
Be nice to people on the way up. You may meet them on the way down. Chris Hankey, the Colonia Clone Master, found out, to his cost, just how true that saying is this week. Hankey was seen stomping around the orbital, trying to send perfectly innocent truckers to Cubicle 3 for insubordination, with cries of, "Don't you know who we are?" and "If we'd ever had a mum, we'd tell her about you." This blatant misuse of power came to the attention of Commander Rampage, Hutton's own northern ninja, who promptly bundled Hankey off to Cubicle 3 and locked the door. After what seemed like an age to Hankey, but was in fact closer to 5 minutes. It's a well-known fact that time moves more slowly inside a toilet cubicle, which is why men are able to complete a crossword and read an entire newspaper in the very few seconds that we spend in there. Rampage took pity on the closeted clone and released him once more, with a "Let that be a lesson to you" ringing in his ears. Coincidentally, when Hankey was released from Cubicle 3, Commander Handy also excited the ablution, having previously got stuck in the pipework after a particularly daring attempt at beating Overlight's time in the Hutton Run. More on that subject later.
It's like a scene from a movie. You know the sort of thing. A peaceful town. Folks are sitting on the front porches, using rocking chairs for their intended purpose. When in the distance, there's a small dust cloud, and it's getting larger. People stop what they're doing to stare into the distance, and soon there's a throaty roar of motorbike exhausts. A gang rolls into the main street, and they park their machines. All of them are clad in black leather from an unknown animal. Across their backs, they all say, "Angels of Death," and they start swinging bicycle chains. That's pretty much what's happened to the Guardians of Tranquility, the caretakers of Tarak Spice in their system, Chan Kun. Bully boys from the Angels of Death, which is a corporation based out of Seti, Forti Seti, have appeared to intimidate the sleepy inhabitants of the even more sleepy Chan Kun system. This should not be confused with nearby Tarak Tor, where the spice comes from, which is really a sort of space Amsterdam, but with different coloured lights and fewer fishnets. We're talking about the next door system. And the inhabitants, which include our very own Commander Beetlejuice, have appealed for help. The spice must flow. Hutton very much disapproves of this invasion and asks combat pilots to head for Chan Kun, wave to the fleet carrier, the great spice beetle of Nimal, to demand that the incomers hand over their clothes, their boots, and their motorcycle. And if they refuse, show them what a rebind screen looks like and pick up their discarded sunglasses.
The bitter tang of disappointment hung in the air of the Pillar of Fortitude today. Actually, that may have been the air scrubbers malfunctioning again. Looking particularly down in the mouth is mullet-haired, pandasexual, exotic animal trader, reality Hollows TV star and former Federation presidential candidate Bobby Prosaic. Bobby is serving a 20-year sentence for attempting to hire an assassin to bump off rival Hollow TV stars Willie and Fanny Stroker, who took the top viewer ratings from him last year. Things went wrong when the assassin accidentally stepped on the couple's screaming beetle while attempting to sneak into their bedroom during the night. The 200 decibel death scream of the beetle stunned the hapless hitman, who went careering across the room, knocking over a tank of freeing new African hypnotoad, which promptly mesmerised and ate him. Well, it ate some of him. Well, it ate his head, really. Messages on the assassin's data slate and comm device linked him directly to Mr. Prosaic. His Panda King show was cancelled by the networks shortly after, amid claims of animal exploitation in his late-night show Panda King After Dark. Bobby had been hoping for a presidential pardon from Zachary Hudson after appeals from his lawyer and manager Johnny Hart from the Screw'em, Good and Hart law firm. Sadly, a pardon never came. And when asked for comment, President Hudson said, "Is that the mullet-wearing hillbilly bastard who said he would pin me to the chair with crossbow bolts in last year's election? No, I will not grant him a pardon. I only wish I could double his sentence. Bill, can I double his sentence?" Well, shit. Bobby Prosaic did perk up visibly, though, when his cellmate popped in to inform him that the panda suit was back from the cleaners. Maybe there will be a happy ending at the Pillar of Fortitude after all.
Good evening, trackers. It is 5060 reporting in with the latest news and intel on all things Thargoid. I'm happy to report that things are starting to return to normal now that the Thargoid incursions in the Witcher Nebula are over. The AXI, or is it AXI, and its allies, including our very own mighty Hexwing, have once again pushed the invaders back into hiding, allowing Operation IDA, or is it IDA, to do what they do best. In record time, stations in the Calcite Nebula have been repaired and are once again open to all with all services available. Nice, you can get a coffee. Additionally, stations in the Evangelis and shins in the Witchhead Nebula have been repaired, bringing back some stability back into the area. Operation IDA, or is it IDA, still has 4 more stations to repair. Ezra Point in Winnington, Carrie Anne Vision in Honoros, Cheryl Orbital in Haki, and Sal Prospect in Lembas. Repairs are expected to be completed quickly, so get in on the action while you can. For now, I am heading back to the Gnosis to break up the illegal knife fighting ring that the LCU No Fool Like One clones have started. When the LCU No Fool Like One left to restock the megaship supply of tea and biscuits and ended up somewhere out in Colonia delivering bits of aliens to the research center out there. Good luck out there, crackers, and for the mug!
As you may have gathered, Lou isn't here this week, so I'm left to not only work out what's going on with the BGS, but to cover his arse because Norma's getting really suspicious. The big news of the week for the BGS has been finally taking control of Narensis. But one has already covered that, so frankly, I'm swimming upstream from this point. I mean, I ought to have big, even exciting news about other BGS activity this week, which is our expansion. But as that was to a shit system that no one can pronounce, and already has an active player group in it, all we want to do is leave. I mean, it's such a crap system that the only place you can find fruit is in the toilets, and if anyone knows not to eat in toilets, it's the truckers. Looking at the weird mess of numbers that Lou claims actually mean something, I can't find anything to point out, to be honest. Apparently we don't want to be below 40%, so whoever is in charge of Weiss 0855-0714, Wolf 1481 and Kokri needs to rally the troops and get some influence boosted there. They're all in boom, so trading should help and make you a ton of cash as well. With Lou on sabbatical and Drew Peacock on wing beacon duty at Alpha Centauri, it's no surprise that LHS 340 has the highest influence of all of our systems. But as you all seem hell-bent on expanding, I doubt there's much point in telling you to stop it. I know Lou tries, but I'm more of a realist. Over in Colonia, we are being challenged for control of Il Procul Centauri. I don't think they want it, but when Hanky deserts his post so he can go swanning around the galaxy in his fleet carrier, showing off in front of his lesser clones, it's kind of inevitable. Especially when there's an infrastructure failure. No doubt caused by him using parts of said infrastructure to build the aforementioned carrier. Only the tireless efforts of Commander Flossie and her Vulture, the Reign of Destruction, have staved off the loss of Hot Call's home system. If you were wondering why Hanky is demoted to Cubicle 3 Attendant, now you know. Over to Norma. That doesn't sound like a harmless non-combat name for a ship.
Now for the reports of events and shenanigans organised by you, the Elite Dangerous Community. Our first item is a report from Expedition Mercury's Wings, which we've covered over the last few weeks. Commander Yannick has asked to say a few words about how it all went now that it's concluded, and so here's his speech. Expedition Mercury's Wings started as an idea for myself and a few friends and elites to have a low-key adventure while delivering the new DSSA carrier Shepherd's Dream to the far northwest corner of the galaxy. But it quickly became much more than that. The thought then occurred, if we're going 64,000 light years across the galaxy, we should probably throw the invitation out to any commanders willing to join us. Mercury's Wings is connected with the Mercury 7 astronauts, the first group of Americans to go into space, and more specifically, Alan Shepard, the second human to enter the realm of space. The expedition blossomed from there to have over 120 commanders join us. We have crossed vast distances of space, made new discoveries, seen the wonders of the galaxy in unfold before our eyes. But most importantly, we've all made new friends and reconnected with old ones. I would like to thank everyone who came on the expedition. It would be nothing without you all. A big thanks to the Elite Community Media, especially you guys at Hutton Orbital Radio, who've covered our entire trip in your own distinctive style. Finally, I would like to thank the superb staff of the expedition. They're always full of amazing skill and enthusiasm for what we do. 07, and I'll see you all out there. Commander Yannick. Trip Sigma, organised by Titan Contractors, is well underway, helping new pilots to see the wonders of exploration and check out the sites such as Betelgeuse, Jackson's Lighthouse, Mitterrand Hollow and a load more besides, and this will come to an end on January the 29th. Although it's half over, if you're still interested, details can be found at bit.ly/TripSigma. Before that, however, Titan Contractors have nearly reached their first anniversary, which is on Saturday the 23rd of January, and Commander Radium tells us that he's hoping to release a special video on that date in celebration of all that they've done during the last year. Talking of Saturday the 23rd, this is a reminder of Commander BAM's Mass Hutton Run from 2000 UTC on January 23rd to 800 UTC on January 24th. There's a special frisson, I hope there's a type of cow, about this event, since after the fuss during last week's show, when Hardy beat Overlight live on air, it was barely 2 days before Overlight took back the lead, beating Hardy's previous time by a full 4 seconds, which equates to 10 seconds faster than Brett Riverboat's long-term record. This event will be your opportunity to show both of them how fast the run can be if you remember to raise your landing gear when setting off. We have an event entry on our Facebook page, so go and check out the details. You'll need to be running the Hutton Helper, and for goodness sake, if you don't know that, you go to hotforthemug.com to get it. Where have you been hiding all this time? BAM will be using our Discord channel for text and voice comms, and his carrier, SHIIT Retreat, will be arriving at Eden just before the event starts. That's all we have for this week. Remember, we can only mention events that we know about, so please let us know if you're organising an event or you've heard about one that you think might interest us.